T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
As tragic as this is, the Kobe Bryant story, losing those 9 people on that helicopter, it is a national story in many ways. Of course, it is a global story in many ways. But for the people of Los Angeles, it is also a loss for their community. And I wanted to have that Los Angeles perspective this evening. So we bring in Eric Pincus. He covers the Lakers for Bleacher Report. Eric, thanks for joining me.
Happy to do it in difficult times.
So start with, what were your first thoughts when you heard the news that Kobe Bryant was killed?
My first thoughts were that it's just not true. It's obviously, you know, a misreport, because that's not possible, right? Because you go into denial, which is a natural human emotion. But unfortunately, you know, it was on TMZ was the first place I saw it. And whether you like their brand or not, they tend to be accurate about these sort of things. And so I wasn't hopeful, reached out, and very quickly it became pretty clear that this was a real thing. And from there, it was really shock. I've covered Kobe for almost 2 decades. That's a long time. It's a long time to know somebody. And it wasn't like we hung out and went out for whatever, drinks after a game, but we worked professionally closely together, be it at practices. I would go out when he would have a camp over the summer. I would visit the camp. He would have a Nike event unveiling a shoe. I'd go to that sort of thing. He had his Muse film that he had made, basically an autobiography. I was at the premiere, a screening rather, that he put on. Got to talk to him there. So you get to know these people, you know, the athletes that I cover, but that period of time is so long that you bond. And part of my job is to kind of have a distance and not be emotional. But today was a very emotional day. It really was. It was very hard. It was hard to tell my wife and my kids, and I have 3 daughters, Kobe has, and I'm going to stay in the present tense because I'm still in denial, has 4 daughters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we went through that grieving process, and I've done a lot of talking about it to help, you know, it's helped, I think, you know, doing a little bit of radio and TV and stuff. I think it helps a little bit, but it's a painful day here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I want to help with that. For those of us sitting here in New York City, and I think Kobe was the guy for today's current crop of NBA players. And for a lot of people of a certain age, Kobe was their guy. But for people who live in Los Angeles, what did Kobe Bryant mean to the city of Los Angeles?
Well, he came in as a boy, really, right? He was 17 when they were working him out and drafting him, and 18 by the time he played.
Jerry West said he couldn't even drive. When he came to the Lakers.
He was a young pup, so to speak, and he came in, and I remember initially he would dribble the ball off his leg. He would have these great moves, but he wouldn't know how to finish them. You know, early on in his career, he had air balls in a key playoff moment, and they kept going back to him, and he kept airballing, and that became like a defining moment for him. That failure helped set a greater success. And then you had the era where they won championships 3 in a row with Shaq and Kobe, but that splintered, and there were some level of animosity between Kobe and Shaq, some of it based on Kobe wanting to become the player that he wanted to be and felt stifled by a player who was unstoppable in a way in Shaq, but also someone who didn't work as hard as Kobe and didn't stay in shape like Kobe did and didn't study the game like Kobe. And Kobe's point of view was, if Shaq worked as hard as I worked, that he would be the most unstoppable player in history, but he's not. And there was some static and he left, and people blamed Kobe, and some people took Shaq's side on that. And obviously Kobe had some off the court stuff that was very difficult to deal with and still is difficult to reconcile in some ways. But then he ended up winning again with Pau Gasol and Lamar Odom. And then he tore his Achilles. I was there for that. And we had the heartbreak of that, where Father Time is undefeated, so to speak. And you see the greats all eventually fade away when it comes to athleticism. But we want them to fade away. And then we want them to get old. We want to see, does Kobe end up, you know, going gray, or does he get heavy? I want to see him at the, you know, can he still shoot? You see every so often a clip of Jerry West doing like a little, there's some video out there if you look for it, where he's talking to some students, some kids, and he's just casually shooting and hitting every single shot he takes. Like, I want to see that with Kobe. But, you know, and it's a long answer, but, you know, for LA, it means a lot. But I think what he transitioned to was a dad. And I think a lot of people relate to that as well. He's always been a father, but, I mean, at least since, you know, he had all these beautiful young daughters, he missed some of the time that they were growing up because of being on the road. So he put everything into coaching his daughter. Unfortunately, she's gone too. And I relate to that because I coach my daughters almost the same age. I have daughters that one's a year older, one's a year younger. And I have an older daughter in high school who doesn't play. But I relate to him because we do the same thing. You know, we both coach our kids' team. We both go to tournaments. We both talk basketball. We both watch basketball with him. He's obviously bringing a little more to the table than I am, which is fine. But there's a lot. And I think, you know, that's more my personal take, but I think everybody has that. I have it a little more because I knew him personally, but I think everybody feels in this community feels like they knew him personally, even if they never even met him. This is like a family member.
Talking to Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report, covers the Lakers, covered Kobe Bryant for almost two decades. And Eric, you mentioned covering him at things like, you know, his camps and other things like that. The film premiere. Is there a Kobe story that at least, you know, those of us who certainly follow the NBA, but maybe not on the day-to-day basis around the team the way you were, is there a Kobe story you can share that gives us a different, you know, or a broader look at him? Or, you know, maybe about how he felt about the Lakers organization or about the camp or any of that, or his family?
Well, I mean, he always... there's little things. Like, even in the locker room after the game, there's a little area where there would almost always be someone waiting to meet Kobe, usually someone from like Make-A-Wish or somebody who was either a kid or even an adult who had something personal going on, you know, be it a disability or some sort of terminal situation. Kobe did that more than anybody. I still see it. I see players do it all the time, but Kobe, he did it more than anybody. He loved teaching and was really good with kids. I think in a lot of ways you can see, because kids are truth tellers, you know, like they can see through when someone's full of it, when they're not genuine. And a lot of players are very dedicated to their camps, but a lot of players, sometimes they just have camps where they're just there for the first day for the intro. They say hi, kids, and they're not a part of it. But that wasn't Kobe. And I remember one, and I tweeted about this earlier today, at his camp in Santa Barbara. This was when I had two daughters, and he said that if I wanted to try for, we were talking about how I was going to have, we were going to try for a boy this time, and he said, well, he said, which the key to it is to wear socks when we're trying to make a baby. And I don't know, we didn't try it, my wife and I. We had a third girl, and we adore her and wouldn't want a boy anyway, you know, now that you look back. Mm-hmm. And obviously Kobe either didn't wear socks. Or it's a bunch of, you know, BS. I have no idea. I've never researched the science on such a thing. Like, is it foot warmth have anything to do with, I don't think so. But there's too many moments as far as, you know, on the court that we all share. I mean, but he was he was cool. Like, he would take the time to talk. He would be upset after a loss, or I remember, you know, simple things like sometimes he would settle for jumpers and wouldn't drive. And I remember, like, early on, like, you know, asking him, like, were there just no driving lanes, or did you just not take them? And he said, no, you're right. There were, I should have driven more. I shouldn't have settled for the jumper. It's like, oh, okay. You're not going to be defensive and try to explain why you're perfect. You know, most players, you know, there's an excuse or something. It's like, no, I messed up. He's an interesting guy. Definitely so.
What about his relationship with the Lakers organization, with whether it's Dr. Jerry Buss, with Jeannie Buss? What was that like?
So one of the early stories that I actually broke, that very few maybe really remember the details of, but there was a point where Kobe was very frustrated with the front office because they'd won with Shaq and then traded Shaq, and then the team was bad and it was taking a while, and Kobe was never known for being a patient human being, and so he was basically demanding in so many ways that the Lakers trade Andrew Bynum for Jason Kidd. And there was a moment where because he was a very approachable guy in the community in Orange County, so some guys just approached him. This was in the earlier days before the modern internet, where everybody had phone cameras, which is like, if you're young, you'd say, what's a camera? That's not on a phone. That's the only thing there is. Mm-hmm. But they had a video camera, and they videoed Kobe saying, you know, Dr. Buss is da-da. He was very controversial at the time, and I went down and visit those guys, and they showed me the video. They were trying to extort everybody, trying to get paid for it. I can't pay you for this story. I'll write a story about it, but I'm not paying for a story for it. So I wrote that story, and Kobe demanded a trade, and it was a whole, that was just a one blip in time. And over the course of his career, like, he loved Dr. Buss and respected him. And then the Lakers were patient and got Pau Gasol, and within a year were champions again. And so I think that humbled Kobe a little bit, where he thought, you know, maybe I don't know everything. You know, maybe my impatience doesn't necessarily work in a front office. He never wanted a job in a front office because Kobe's a man of action, do. And sometimes in a front office, the action is don't, you know, wait, be patient. Mitch Kupchak was someone who was very patient up until he wasn't towards the end of his Laker run. So other than that, Jeannie Buss, love Jeannie Buss. Jeannie's a sweet, sweet person. I don't know anyone who's not going to like Jeannie Buss. If you get to know her and talk to her, you can like what she's done or not like what she's done, but I don't think anyone's going to say that she's not, you know, a tremendous person to talk to and very kind. So Kobe was very close to the organization. Obviously, the general manager right now is Rob Pelinka. That's Kobe's former agent.
Right.
So he was there to do whatever they needed, but he wasn't going to go out and beg people to come to the Lakers, because that's Kobe's, like, if you don't want to come to the Lakers, I'm not going to beg you to come. You shouldn't come if you don't want to come. That was his approach.
Unfortunately, our time is up, but Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report certainly will follow your work down the road and appreciate you coming on the air, giving us a little bit of an LA perspective on a difficult night. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.